This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم ما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dearest brothers and sisters, welcome back to the continuation of Tafsir Surah Yusuf. This is the 11th lesson now. We are on verses 33. The story so far is that Yusuf alayhi salam has been plot against by one lady. This is his own master, Imra'atul Aziz. Now she tried to seduce him and he managed to save himself. However, that plot, though he managed to save himself from that plot, that same plot comes back once again, even stronger and greater than before. How so? Well, because the Niswa of Medina, the women folk of the capital city in Egypt at that time, they caught wind of what was going on inside that house and they started to blame her. They started to say, what's wrong with you? You're trying to get on your own slave, etc., etc. She very cunningly calls them to the house, lays on a huge banquet, calls Yusuf alayhi salam in, they end up cutting their hands, as we spoke about last time. In that state now, they are shocked at the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam, and they're also now, if you like, put in their place by the lady. So she's in control of them now. What happens now is that the ladies themselves start to put pressure on Yusuf alayhi salam, that you know what, she's threatened you to imprison you. She said, "La yusjananna wa la yakuna min al-saghirin." She says to Yusuf alayhi salam, "You refuse me now, meaning I'm going to try on you again. And if you do, a threat. You're going to be put in prison or you're going to be humiliated." So now what happens is that the women that are there in the presence of that other lady, they start to turn to Yusuf alayhi salam and start to say, "She's threatening you. You better listen to her. And forget about threatening you. She's a good lady. Why don't you do it? What's wrong with you?" Yeah. So now more pressure on him. You know, just not from one source, from a new source now. And these are the ladies, and they're not just any ordinary women. We said that these are the Niswa, a select group of women fil Medina, meaning of the political class. So they're like, you know, the top, if you like, the most influential type of people. They're the ones now coming and putting pressure on him. This is now the next verse, inshallah, verse number 33. It continues on and it tells us what happens in that situation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال رب السجن أحب إلي مما يدعونني إليه وإلا تصرف عني كيدهن أصب إليهن وأكن من الجاهلين فاستجاب له ربه فصرف عنه كيدهن إنه هو السميع العليم ثم بدا لهم من بعد ما رأوا الآيات ليسجننه حتى حين.
So here Yusuf alayhi salam, he's put in a very, very difficult situation. Okay, he's got a choice, as Ibn Ashur says, between two things. Either he accepts, you know, the seduction of these women now, or he chooses the other option. What's the other option? Prison. He's got two choices. There's no other choices. Okay. Now, when it comes down to this choice, or these two choices, what Ibn Ashur said is that this is like the most constricted, you know, moment for Yusuf alayhi salam. It's a very, very difficult situation. Only got these two choices. In that difficult situation, He calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What he says next is actually a dua. And what he says next, either Ibn Ashur says he says this to himself, meaning all the women are there, they're putting so much pressure on him, really trying to force him, and he says these words to himself. قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ He says that a sijn, the prison, which they are threatening me with, أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ It is more preferable to me than that which they call me to. Meaning the zina wal-iyadu billah. Someone may misunderstand what it means, أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ It doesn't mean it's more beloved to me. Because that would mean that, you know, astaghfirullah, doing that sin is something he loves. But this is more beloved to him. No, that's not what it means. Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah said, what it means is this, it's not saying that this is more beloved, rather it's saying both things are detestable. Both things, I don't like either of them. But the one I like more is what? Prison. I'd rather go to prison and suffer than to fall into this haram with this lady. That is better for me. Okay, that is the choice that I make. That is more, if you like, preferable to me. وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ And then he says to Allah that even though for me this is more preferable to go to prison, the reality is I need you to save me from this sin. It is not in my hand to save my own self. He says, إِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ Unless you turn their plot away from me, I will, and two things will happen. First thing, أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ أَصْبُ, okay, Ibn Ashur comes from the root of sabu. Sabu means that you start to be inclined towards something you love. You know, from sabu you get sabi. Sabi is what they call an infant, a young child. But you know, a young child, when he sees something he likes, he starts asking for it, yeah? You know, like when you take them, I don't know if you've got young kids, but you take them for shopping and they see something on the shelf, they like it, and they start throwing a tantrum. Yeah, mom says, no, kids on the floor starts crying, throwing a tantrum. Asbu ilayhin, he's saying that, and I'll become like a child. I won't be able to help myself, ya Allah. Subhanallah. That's the way he's talking to Allah, as if he is incapable. Unless you help me, I'll become like this. And on top of that, if I become like that, the reality is أَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ I'll end up becoming of the jahilun, the ignorant ones. Now, how does falling into this sin of zina, or any sin in fact, make someone a ignorant person? Qatada, rahimahullah, one of the famous tabi'een, he said that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are in total agreement that anyone who does a sin, at that moment of sinning, he is a jahil. He's an ignorant person. Okay? So, yani, why didn't Yusuf alayhi salam say, if you don't save me, I'll end up doing the sin. If I do the sin, I'll be khati'een, or, you know, I'll be a sinner, zalim. Would make more sense, perhaps. But he said, jahil. I'll become a jahil. Or not I'll become jahil, I'll become of the jahilun. People that are ignorant, they behave like this. So how do we understand this? That he's saying that I'll become a jahil. If you don't save me, I'll end up doing this haram, and I'll be of the jahilin. You can answer this question. Yes, Akhi, go ahead. That's true, if you do this one thing, one sin, yani, someone does, and usually, it leads you to do more sins. Like the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, in the beginning, you know, they made a plan, and that plan led to lying and deception and false crying and everything else. But we're talking about being an ignorant person, that you're classed as an ignorant person when you sin. And that's what he's saying, that if I do the sin, I'll be of the jahileen. Yeah.
Because he knows it's wrong.
Okay, that's close. The brother said, yani, if he knows that he shouldn't do it, if he does it, he's choosing to ignore what he knows.
Normally it's associated with loss of knowledge.
Okay.
So the more you sin, the more jahil you become.
Okay, interesting. The brother said that yani, sin, as many of the Salaf said, you know, it causes a blackness in the heart. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, subhanAllah, that you end up being deprived of a blessing that you had. Every time you sin, one of the effects is a blessing. One of the blessings that you have is being cut down because of that. One of the blessings is knowledge. So if you sin, you lose knowledge, and if you lose knowledge, you become jahil. Interesting. I haven't come across that, but it sounds good, mashallah. There's something else though, something more obvious. And you think about it. Here's a decision to be made here. Either he makes a bad decision, and he ends up enjoying, or something, the person ends up enjoying themselves for a while. The consequence of that is that in the Akhirah, he will lose out for a long time. True? So that's the decision that's the other decision that could be made. As opposed to his decision, which is to suffer for a little while and enjoy it for a long time. So, what do you think, brothers? Why is he saying I'll be a jahil person if I was to do this sin? No, sorry, very good. So, the reality is that this is a transaction almost. I enjoy myself for a little while here, and then I lose out big time after in the Akhirah. On the flip side, I enjoy myself for a little while. I suffer for a little while. Why is it a little while? 60 years? I could be in jail for 60 years. Okay, 60 years compared to an eternity. Okay, yeah, it's true. Suffering for 60 years for an eternity of happiness, that's the intelligent way to make a decision, true or not. But the ignorant way, the foolish way, is to squander a lifetime of happiness for a short moment of pleasure. Yeah. Now that's why they said that a sinner, when we sin, may Allah forgive us, in that moment we are jahil. Yeah, because we're making a very bad decision. And only a jahil person would make such a stupid decision to make such a transaction. Okay. Now, some of the benefits we learn just from this one ayah is that, subhanAllah, an innocent man is going to be thrown into prison. Which teaches us sometimes innocent people are found in prison. Yeah, a miscarriage of justice happens, and it happened at that time, it happens in our times as well. And in fact, in America, they say that you know what the conviction rate is in America? Does anyone know? What's the conviction rate in America? If you were put to trial? Yeah, they said around 98%. And 98% of people are convicted in America. Why? Because they have this guilty plea tool where you're going to go to jail for 50 years. That's the prospect. If you say you're guilty to one of the other things, smaller things, then your sentence will be cut down drastically. So most people just go for the plead guilty. So in order to avoid the big sentencing, they go for the smaller one, which means they plead guilty. So the conviction rate is 97%. And how many innocent people do you think are languishing inside of prison in America? Yeah. So here Yusuf alayhi salam, he's innocent, yet he's thrown into prison. Meaning being in prison doesn't necessarily mean you're guilty. And this teaches us another lesson, subhanAllah, which is that this saying, there's no smoke without fire. You heard this saying? It's a very, very dangerous logic. And for example, our brother Muazzam Beg, been into prison in Guantanamo and now here as well, and released, alhamdulillah. Somebody would say, come on, he went to prison, there's no smoke without fire, must have done something wrong. No, this is a dangerous logic. Yeah, Yusuf alayhi salam didn't do anything wrong whatsoever, yet he languished in prison for a very long time. That is not the case. Yeah, just because something like this happened doesn't mean that the person is guilty whatsoever. The main thing is evidence. What is the evidence? What does the evidence suggest? And even in the case of Yusuf alayhi salam, his qamis was the evidence that proved his innocence. So we base our judgment on evidence. Okay. Now, I think we've done here. Now, something interesting Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said about this verse. He says, notice how Allah says, قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ This verb that they are calling me to is in the masculine form. Yeah, it's جَمْ مُذَكَّر. Yeah, masculine form. However, Who is calling him to do this sin? Who is it? Okay, the lady, as well as, now we know, Niswa. So women. So the women are calling him to do the sin. However, the word we see here is in fact masculine. And the masculine can incorporate, yani, relate to men as well as women. So Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says here, we see that even though he referred to the kaid as kaid hunna, their plot, he said, Allah save me from what they are calling me to. Which means that there is a male figure who is also part of the plot. SubhanAllah, ajeeb. Wallahi, I never read this anywhere except for what Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said. And he said, this is because the only male figure in this story so far is who? Aziz. And the reality is that Aziz, because he's so lax with his wife and he's not bothered about separating them, even though he knows that there is an attraction there and his wife is crazy for Yusuf, he doesn't bother to split them up. He doesn't have any ghayra for his wife. And if a man is like that with his wife, it means he's giving her the green light to go and be unfaithful to him. He's actually helping towards creating that situation. Do you see? And if he was a real man, you'd say, khalas, you tried it on him, qamis has been shown to me, that's it, no more. You better fix up. In fact, he lets it all go. So here, subhanAllah, subtle point, yad'unani ilayhi. He's saying all of them, it's like all of them are ganged up on me, even the Aziz, because of the way he is with his wife. Okay, and he said that he is a duyuth. A duyuth is a man who lacks ghayra for his women. Okay, now let's read this analysis of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah of this story so far. So the tafsir analysis of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah regarding this verse, قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Number one, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, he chose the prison and suffering over sinning and disobedience. So here we're learning, yani, how Yusuf made this decision. What did he see? Most ordinary people would see prison. I ain't going to prison. I'm not going to suffer in prison. And that's the end of it. They only see the worldly aspect. Prison, I'm going to suffer in prison for how long? I don't know how long. On the other side, you know, I could just go along with it. You know, wal'iyadu billah, comply with her request. You know, it's a moment of being uncomfortable. Maybe I'll feel guilty about that afterwards. But that's better than going to prison for a lifetime. You know, I've got to do my studies. I've got to get a job. I've got to get married. I've got to have kids. I want to see dad later on. I don't go to prison. Looking at it just from a worldly perspective. Do you see? This is the way people usually base their decisions. Yeah, on personal interest. On worldly, yani, on worldly interest. Now you look at Yusuf al-Islam. There is the dunya and then there is the akhirah. Need to take both into consideration. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says he chose the prison and suffering over sinning and disobedience. On one side it is not prison. One side it is escaping zina. Oh. And the other side, it is not just, you know, enjoying myself, wal'iyadu billah, doing this. Rather, it is sinning and disobedience. Okay, that is the perspective, the religious perspective. The second thing Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said is, he begged Allah to make firm his heart upon his deen and to turn it towards obedience. And that if he didn't make his heart firm, then he would end up doing two things. Number one, becoming inclined to sin. And number two, become one of the jahileen. So here Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is saying that Yusuf alayhi salam, you know, he didn't rely on himself. He called out to Allah. And he didn't just call, he begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save him from this sin. He asked Allah to make his heart firm. Otherwise, he would end up becoming, either falling for that trap or becoming of the jahileen. Number three, he sought Allah's help and made dua to him in order to keep himself upright, whilst relying on him to save him from their plot. This is a very important statement. What we're being taught here is that we are supposed to try our best. But the outcome relies in whose hands? Allah's alone. So even here, Yusuf alayhi salam running to the door, telling the women, no, I'm not going to do it. He's trying his level best. But that outcome, which is to save yourself from zina, he recognizes it's not in his influence, in his hand. It is in the hand of Allah. That is why he's asking Allah that if you don't, you know, save me, because I believe that outcome is in your hand, not in mine, then I'm going to end up doing it. Yeah? Then I'm going to end up doing it. So he's basically saying that I am incapable and you are the one who has power over everything. In your hand does all outcomes lie. So if I want an outcome like this, I need to rely on you, not on my own self. He said he was ready to endure prison if needed. He did not capitulate under pressure and threats. Whoever endures suffering for the sake of Allah in order to avoid disobedience in such an honorable way as Yusuf alayhi salam and as other prophets did, then he will succeed in both the dunya and the akhirah. And that source of suffering will turn into a source of blessing and felicity. Conversely, whoever seeks pleasure through enjoyable sins, those sins will turn to become sources of grief and ruin for him. Subhanallah. Amazing. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, when he says whoever endures suffering for the sake of Allah in order to avoid disobedience in such an honorable way, then he'll have a reward in this dunya and the akhirah. And this is shown clearly through the life of Yusuf alayhi salam. In the end, he becomes the state treasurer, you know, working directly under the king, and he has his family back, he's wealthy, he has the dunya as well as the akhirah. However, the point to note here is that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says that whoever avoids disobedience in an honorable way, bil karama wal izza, he puts two qualifiers. He says, because you know, and somebody could avoid doing something haram begrudgingly. For example, Yani, a student, he just got his A-levels and now it's time to go to university. He's got five choices, okay? Some of those universities are more like, he would favor certain universities over others. Why? Well, because, you know, there's more freedom here, it's further away from mom and dad, you know, I can do what I want. But the other side, this is a university closer to home, you know, I can be home at a reasonable time. Their social, you know, life is not as bad as those universities because it's small, etc., etc. And it's a better religious choice. He says, khalas, I'll do it. No problem. 3 years in uni, every year he's thinking, I wonder what it would have been like in that uni. Oh man, I'm missing out. And they're having their boat party. Damn, I saw it on Facebook, man, it looks so good. Only if, well, you know, I made my decision now. La. This is begrudgingly. Though you are doing something good, it is not the same as someone who takes a decision and sees it through with honor. Ya Allah, I made the right choice for you. Alhamdulillah, I don't regret it for a second. And I don't wish that I had done something different. I don't wish that whatsoever. And I'm so glad I chose this decision. Even though on a worldly level it looks worse, I know this is best in your eyes. So Yusuf alayhi salam chose prison, and every day in prison is like, he's not thinking, oh man, only if I took the blue pill. No, he's not thinking that. He's like, no, this is the best thing. And he's, subhanAllah, he does da'wah inside prison. Unbelievable. Da'wah inside prison? Yeah, he did da'wah inside prison. He interpreted people's dreams inside prison. So he lived, you know, through that test in a very honorable way. When someone does that, then there is an aqibah for him in the dunya and the akhirah. There is a reward that Allah gives him in the dunya and the akhirah. The other amazing thing he said is that, subhanAllah, that decision that you made becomes a source of this. Yani, that decision, which was initially a source of suffering, ends up becoming a source of happiness and felicity. Yusuf alayhi salam, because of that decision later on in his life, you know, that decision that he made, he learned so much from it. But going into prison made him a different type of person, true or not? And when you spend years in prison, in tough circumstances, you learn things, yeah? You develop yourself. Then he becomes a leader of the people, A man who's gone through tough times, who becomes a leader, knows how to take care of every person. Because he knows how the lowest of the low have to live. And he lived on, Allah alam, what kind of food he must have lived on. What kind of room he must have stayed in, true? So he's lived yani, in the best places, the house of Aziz, and in the worst place, inside prison. And all of that develops him and becomes the source of, subhanAllah, you know, amazing goodness for him. So it's very true. The last thing, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, had Yusuf alayhi salam complied with the lady, a desire would have been fulfilled, and she would have even perhaps honored him with wealth and position, perhaps even marrying him later on. So he's saying that, yani, let us think on the from the other perspective. Let us say, wal-'iyadu billah, that he did comply. He capitulated under the pressure. Maybe, you know, the reality is that she would have yani, gifted him. She would have given him wealth. She would have given him position. She would have maybe even married him later on. It's true. You know, if he complied with her request, she would have, you know, credited him. He would have got so many other worldly things. However, instead, Yusuf al-Islam chose humiliation and imprisonment. To leave a desire unfulfilled and to destroy the prospect of position and wealth, he put forward the fear of the Khaliq over the fear of the Makhluq. Here, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ends by saying that and he chose to basically squander any possible, you know, prospectus of becoming a great person by saying no to her. That is what he did. That is the decision he made in order to save himself. And the reality is that he saw two things. Either I disobey Allah and obey the creation, or I disobey the creation and I obey Allah. And he chose to obey Allah at the disobedience of the creation. Okay. Now some key lessons. Number one, this verse teaches us, as Ibn Ashur said, how to have correct adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the correct adab he's referring to is how Yusuf alayhi salam cried out to Allah that I am totally unable to avoid anything myself. I don't have the power. I am ajiz, incapable. Now when you show that to Allah, Allah loves to see that. Yeah? And this is the meaning of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That we say the reality is that there is no change in the whole. There's no change in circumstances, except that it changed through the power and might of Allah. So even if somebody yani, wants to stay away from a sin, he wants to, he's trying to, the only way he will stay away from it is by Allah's quwwah, not your quwwah. Yeah? So this is what a person needs to show Allah. Do you see this? Allah, I really feel this. I'm not yani, showing you out of adab, as in, you know, when you show someone kindness, you may not feel like you want to be kind to that person, but you're just showing it. No, the person really feels it and shows it to Allah. Allah, I really feel that I cannot handle this situation unless you help me. This is the adab that Yusuf al-Islam had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Ibn Ashur says, Allah responds. Allah responded to him. Number two, we need Allah's help in avoiding sin. Qurtubi said that it is not possible for a person to avoid a sin except by Allah's help. Yeah? Except by Allah's help. No one ever avoids a sin except that Allah helped him avoid it. Number three, if Allah wishes good, He teaches you zuhud. This was mentioned by one of the scholars. And what is meant, wallahu alam, is that Yusuf alayhi salam is going to be thrown into prison. In prison, he's going to live a life, you know, void of worldly luxuries. No comforts in his life whatsoever. He's going to have to live a very basic life. But living a life of zuhud, okay, in fact teaches you to become a great person. Let us look at the life of Musa alayhi salam. What part of his life did he have to end up living as a zahid, a person with very little worldly comforts? Anyone know?
Is it like a shepherd?
Okay, it's kind of close. Yeah. Very good, Ahsan, very good. Do you want this one? This is Cabri screaming. Barakallahu feekum. Okay, so Musa alayhi salam, فَوَكَزَهُ فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ. He struck a man who he thought was abusing another, and he died. When he died, Fir'aun sends his police, and he has to run away. When he runs away, he's got nothing to his name. Yeah, he's got absolutely nothing to his name, and he got no one around to save him either. And he's in the middle of the desert. And then he manages to find some people that help him, and he has to work for however many years as a poor person with nothing. Okay, so that's a big part of his life. I think it's 10 years or maybe more than 10 years. He has to live basically with nothing. Interestingly enough, Musa alayhi salam grew up in whose house? Fir'aun's house. So he tasted luxury and he tasted the prestigious life. Then Allah decided later on you're going to taste a very basic life. And when Allah does that to someone, a believer, then Allah is wishing good for that person. Yeah, wishing good for that person. What about the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Can anyone tell us a particular period in his life where he was forced to live on next to nothing? Very good. When they were boycotted in the 6th and the 7th year after prophecy in Makkah, where they had to go to the Shi'b in the valley. 2 years, 2.5 years, they had to live on, subhanAllah, leaves. Unbelievable. But the reality is living that life would have benefited them in a big way as well. Again, subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ is raised up by who? After his mother passes away, who's he in the care of? Before his uncle. His grandfather. Who is his grandfather? Abdul Muttalib. The chief of Banu Hashim. The most, if you like, prestigious royal person in the whole of Arabia. Amazing. Prophet is, and he given a life in the beginning, tasting and seeing luxury and prestigious people and the elite. Yeah? And then later on, most of his followers are the weakest of people. And he has to live in a very basic way as well. They tasted the high life, if you like, and learned the benefits from that. And then Allah Jalla wa'ala decreed for him to live a very basic life as well. Okay, so you see that, yani this is a reoccurring sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four, what great decisions are made of, and what bad ones are made of too? And we've kind of spoken about that already. What Sa'adi mentioned, I'll just mention it here. He said that the person should weigh up options properly. You can look at it from this perspective when you look at what Yusuf alayhi salam did. Either you suffer in this life for the pleasure of Allah, or taste some enjoyment but with Allah's anger. Or, you could say, put your body in harm's way if it means saving your soul. That's an interesting perspective. In prison, your body's going to suffer, but your soul's not going to suffer. But the flip side, if you do the zina, and your body will a'yadu billah enjoy, and your soul will suffer. Okay, that's another perspective. Another perspective is be the oppressed rather than the oppressor. Be the oppressed rather than the oppressor. Here Yusuf alayhi salam decided that, yani, I'll become an oppressed person. Yani, I'll take a position as an oppressed person languishing in prison. Okay, as opposed to being an oppressor. How would he be an oppressor? We kind of mentioned this already. Yeah. Okay, who would he be oppressing? And? No, this is his Aziz. Yeah, he'd been doing zulm on another man. Yeah, he'd been doing zulm on another man. So rather I be the oppressor than the oppressed. And subhanAllah, brothers and sisters, this is a very, very important lesson that you need to live by. In your family life, for example, husband and wife, you have arguments. Yeah, you have arguments. Sometimes, yani, bitter arguments. Now, you have a decision. Either you can force yourself to conclude and win the argument, okay? Or you can say, no, you know what? Khalas. Whatever you said is right, and what I said is wrong. You took the position as an oppressed person rather than taking the position as an oppressor. in her eyes, you're the oppressor if you take that position. What is the best thing? In certain situations, I'm not saying every situation, in certain situations, better to become an oppressed person than the oppressor. Yeah? This can be looked at in so many ways. For example, in business. You do business with someone, you both, two brothers, go into business together. Put in equal share. Business is not doing too well. Business is not doing too well. In fact, the business is going bankrupt. Now it's time to sell up. Okay. One brother says to the other, you know what, akhi, I put in more money than you. I should get more money back. The other brother is thinking, no, I don't think you did. He's not sure. He could say, no, bring the evidence. I don't believe that you did. And he could force himself into a position where he's contesting it. Yeah, he could. However, there's a chance that what that brother said is true. Is that right or wrong? It could be true. Unless you take it to court, you're in a position where either you become the oppressor or the oppressed. What is better? It is far better for you to say, you know what, take more money, it's fine. I'll become the oppressed. Yeah, I'll become the oppressed. Why? Because on the flip side, if I say no and you're right, I deprived you of money and I took that money myself on the akhirah, there's a price to pay. And that price to pay is too heavy for you to shoulder. Too heavy. So in fact, it's better for me just to be the oppressed. Khalas. Yani save myself from that trouble on the akhirah. True or not? Do you see? Yeah, this is, yani, you need to think like this. Yeah, sometimes better to be the oppressed than the oppressor. Okay, so the brothers asked the question, yani, what's the main, yani, what's the goodness that comes out of living, if you like, a wealthy life or a prestigious life, and then after living a poor life? Yeah. Well, the Prophet ﷺ is going to become a leader for all of mankind. Mankind comprises of rich people as well as poor people. Yeah. The leader needs to take care of everyone. In order to take care of everyone, you need to know how people think. True or not? You need to know what circles they move in. Yeah? Yani what makes them tick. Because you need to influence them. You need to lead them. So subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ grew up yani, under the care of Abdul Muttalib, yeah, and then Abu Talib, most prestigious people around at that time. And he would have learnt how the elite of Quraysh behave, interact, and what makes them tick. On the flip side, later on, he has to suffer. Living with his followers, most of which are very, very weak, downtrodden people, some of them slaves. Now he learns how the very poorest of people live, what they go through, their plights in life, the plight of an ordinary man. So now he's getting the best, if you like, of both worlds. True or not? So when he does become the leader of everyone, he knows how everyone, you know, lives. And subhanAllah, to be a great leader, you need to be able to lead everyone. Does that make sense? Okay, let's move on. Next verse, verse number 34. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُنْ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. His Lord replied to him and turned away from him their plot and deviousness. He is the one who hears, the one who knows. Notice the fa in the beginning. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ. This fa is of ta'qib in Ashur. Ta'qib means of quick succession. Allah heard his dua. No sooner had he finished uttering that dua, fastajaba lahu. Allah responded, subhanAllah. And istajaba, okay, is not just Allah sought to answer his call. Istajaba, on the pattern of istafa'ala, means mubalagha in this context, which means Allah responded so quickly and in such an amazing way as well. Yeah, in such an amazing way. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ. His master responded in such a quick, hasty way to his slave. Saving him, صَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُنَّ. Turning him away from their plot. إِنَّهُ وَالسَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Then Allah mentioned two attributes of his, two names. That he is the all-hearing and the all-knowing. Now, why do you think that Allah chose to end this verse, that He responded to the call of Yusuf alayhi salam and turned him away from their plot by saying, and remember, Allah is all hearing and all knowing? Why didn't Allah Jalla wa'ala say, wa huwa ar'ufun bil ibad, that He is most compassionate towards His slaves, or that He is all wise? Why these two? Yes. Very good, Ahsant. And did you read this in that book? Very good, mashallah. Say mashallah, brothers. It was very good. The brother said that As-Sami' that he hears. He heard the dua of Yusuf al-Islam. He just made it. And Allah, I heard it. And I hear their plots as well. Their scheming, how they're plotting against you. Wal-Alim. And I know, meaning I know your motive, and I know their motives. Okay, I know his motive, and I know their motives. Or something else can be said as well. What are the reasons? Any other reasons come to your mind? Why?
A person's sincerity.
Okay, yeah. That Allah really, yani He knows what the person really wants in their heart. Is that what you mean? Okay, very good. Anything else? As-Sami' and Al-Alim. Ibn Ashur said, this is like the illah. This is the reasoning. Allah is saying, why did I respond to him? Well, I responded because I am all hearing. I heard what he said. And I am alim, meaning I know what is best for his future. I know what is best for his future as well. That he is going to end up going to prison. Everyone would think, you know what? That's bad. That shouldn't be happening to him. That's wrong. Why is he being put in prison? That's injustice. Now, Allah is alim. He knows that in fact this will be the best for him. Yeah, will be the best for him. Okay. Now, what came first, the dua or the response? Yeah, and it's clear that we're being taught here that Allah Jalla wa'ala comes to the aid of the person when he tries and when he asks. Don't think that Allah will just come because I am a believer. You know, astaghfirullah, Allah will come and help me because I am a believer. Yani I deserve to be helped by Allah. I pray my five prayers. I'm fasting Ramadan. How comes, ya Allah, you don't come and help me? No. Yusuf alayhi salam was better than any of us in belief. Yet, he never thought to himself, I'm a prophet. God's going to come and help me. I just need to ask God. Yeah? No. He asked Allah and begged Allah and said, I can't handle the situation myself. Then Allah says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ. Then Allah, his master, responded to him. Teaching us that dua comes after, the response comes after the dua. Okay, one key lesson here is that the greater the struggle, the greater the reward. What we're saying here is that it was already very difficult for Yusuf alayhi salam to say no to the lady. It was difficult. Yeah? But he did say no. But remember what he said before, how Allah Jalla wa'ala many times, what he does to a believer is that he tests him until the limit of his capability. Remember this question, we posed it. And we said, why? Why does Allah yani continue to test a person to the end of their limit? You know, recently a family member of mine, he's married and he's been trying for a child, I think for 3 years. Yeah, 3 years or 2.5 years. Nothing. Yeah, nothing. A lot of pressure as well. You know, in our culture, the mother is on the back of the son. Come on. We need to have a child now. Come on, what's going on? So, a lot of pressure and a lot of difficulty, a lot of anxiety. Then they got to a point, subhanAllah, ajeeb, that they said, let us go for IVF, a halal type of IVF. And the wife was saying, let us wait. Even though they're allowing us to have IVF on the NHS, let us wait. So they had, I think they had like the prescription in their hand. And the wife was saying, let us wait. Let us still rely on Allah. Yani pure reliance. And subhanAllah, she became pregnant. Amazing. Yeah, everyone is so happy. 2 weeks ago, she notices that she's having bleeding. She went to hospital. They said, no, everything is fine. She went back home, more bleeding. She went back to hospital. They said, miscarriage. Miscarriage, subhanAllah. Everyone devastated. Unbelievable. And yani, the person thinks, come on, yani, this is too much. Already 2.5 years, then becoming pregnant, then losing the baby. This is very similar, subhanAllah, to the story here. Yusuf has done so much to, you know, secure himself from the plot of that lady. Now the plot just, you know, takes on steroids, you know, and all of those ladies are coming to attack him. It's another level of test. Why? Who can remember why we said Allah, yani, tests a person to the end, right to the end of their ability? How come? Who remembers the answer? One of the answers, there's a few. Yes.
To maximize the reward.
Ahsant, very good. MashaAllah. I'll give you a clear. MashaAllah. To one of the from the maqasid of ibtila, okay, from the higher objectives of testing slaves, is that maximize their reward. You can earn this much reward, Allah wants the best for you. And you're going to get the best if you are tested to the maximum. You know, Yusuf al-Islam is exactly what is happening there. And the temptation of a woman, okay, and the attraction of the opposite gender, it is one of the severest tests anyway, you know. And subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ said in that famous hadith about the seven that would be granted shade on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when there would be no shade, one of them is a man who is approached by a woman that a mansiba wal jamal, a woman that is very, yani, has a very notable lineage, as well as being extremely beautiful. Then that person says, I fear Allah. Then he qualifies himself for the shade on Yawm al-Qiyamah. You know, so here Yusuf al-Islam, subhanAllah, is the example of that hadith. You know, that the one, he was approached by a woman, lineage, beauty, everything, money as well. Yet he still said, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he did that, we see that there was a greater struggle. And with the greater struggle, there is a greater reward. The last verse now. ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا رَأَوُوا الْآيَاتِ لَا يَسْجُونُنَّهُ حَتَّى حِينَ. Then after they had seen the signs, they thought that they should still imprison him for a time. The scene now cuts away from the ladies and Yusuf al-Islam begging Allah to help him. It moves now to Aziz. Aziz is sitting there, okay, he's found out what has just happened behind his back again. This time it's worse. Now all these ladies are in on it as well. And he's refused all of them. He's made them all look bad. So he's there sitting with some of his, you know, colleagues. And they're thinking, man, how should we deal with this now? How should we deal with this? Either we say, Yusuf alayhi salam, you're in the right and we're going to protect you. Or the thing is, if they do that, what do you think is going to happen? What's going to happen is that people are going to start talking. Okay? The gossip is going to spread. Lay people are going to find out what Aziz, his wife, and all those, you know, women of the political class have been up to. A scandal is going to break out. So they're thinking, decision. This is the opposite. Bad decision. Good decision, bad decision. They're thinking, okay, stand up for Yusuf, and everyone finds out that our women have been misbehaving. On the other side, we put him in prison, and everyone thinks, no smoke without fire. Yeah? No smoke without fire. He must have done something wrong. And we, yeah, and he put him in prison unjustly, but at the least we save our reputation. Yeah? Bad decision. What do? They choose to put him in prison. Look how Allah explained this. He said, ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا رَأَوُ الْآيَاتِ. That after they saw, not the sign, the signs of his innocence. So what are some of the signs that Yusuf alayhi salam is totally innocent? What are some of those signs? What's the biggest of the signs?
Shirt.
Yeah, his shirt. Okay, so that's one. But that's ayah. Allah said, after they saw the ayat, they, despite seeing it, chose to imprison him. What else is there then? Ahsant, very good. The lady's already confessed. She's already said, yeah, fair enough, you know, I was trying to seduce him. Why are you guys blaming me for? Now you know what he looks like. So she's already made a partial confession. That's another sign. What else? There's another sign, which is physical sign.
They tried to earn him again for the second time.
They tried to earn him again, yeah, and he refused. Okay, there's That's true, but there's more of an obvious sign that people can see. قَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ. Yeah, that they cut themselves. All these women got this mark on their hand over here. What's going on there? What's that all about? They saw all of those signs. Despite seeing all of them, they said, we're going to imprison him. حَتَّى حِين Ibn Atiyah rahimahullah said, it means an undefined term. We're not even going to say 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Just yani, and as long as it takes. SubhanAllah. Throwing you in prison for as long as it takes for people to forget about what happened. And this is the same tactic used by politicians today. There's a scandal. People find out. What does the government commission? An inquiry. You heard this term before, inquiry? Commission an inquiry. We'll investigate the matter. Inquiry is going on for 1 year, 2 years. Khalas, people forgot about the whole mas'ala in the first place. Okay, that is a tactic. Like the, there's one going on at the moment. You know the fire that happened in Hillsborough? What's this one? You know the big fire that happened in the football stadium?
It collapsed.
Yeah, and the stadium collapsed.
Just collapsed.
Huh? Hillsborough. And it's a scandal. Police covered it up. What is the people find out? The government says, don't worry, inquiry. Inquiry going on for how many years? Why inquiry? Yeah, to pacify the masses. So after a while, they'll forget about it. They won't be that concerned about it when we eventually do come out with it. Same tactics, subhanAllah. حَتَّى حِين. Throw him in prison until this scandal basically dies down. Okay. Anything else to mention here? La, the only other thing mentioned here is that subhanAllah, this again portrays Aziz in a very bad light. Yeah. The fact is that in the beginning he said Akrimi Mathwa, he said take care of Yusuf alayhi salam, and he was good to him, and they said that he had firasa, you know, intuition, recognizing the qualities of Yusuf alayhi salam. But now we're finding out so many bad things about him. The fact is he knows clearly that Yusuf is in the right. Despite knowing that and seeing all the evidences, he still throws him in prison, okay, and the key, khalas, the key is thrown away as well. Yeah, so we're learning that, subhanAllah, only the good and the ugly side of Aziz. Okay, inshallah, that brings us to the end. SubhanAllah, wa hamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka, wa atubu ilayk, wa jazakumullahu khairan.